السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, and also those who listen to us over the receivers. I am discussing some surahs of the Quran Sharif. We are doing some tarjuma and a little bit of tafsir, some explanation of certain surahs and the meaning of certain surahs, so that when we recite them in our salat, then they will have some sort of impact on our hearts when we understand the meaning. If we don't understand the meaning, then we will continue reading till Qiyamah, but it will not have that desired effect and impact on our hearts. Of course, it must not be misunderstood that if you don't understand the meaning, then you do not have to recite these verses or these surahs of the Quran Sharif. It does not mean that. What it means is that just as we put so much of effort into other things, when a person is doing some sort of a cause, then how much of effort he puts into study of that literature that is provided with that cause. Students of universities, colleges, high schools, there's so much that they have to learn, and they do not find it difficult. Why? Because they have got some kind of aspiration, ambition, hope, and they know that if they qualify and get a certificate and they get into that profession or they get a good employment, then they will get a big hefty wage packet. Now, because of that, the person is prepared to sacrifice. He is prepared to burn the midnight oil. Now, here we are not saying learn the tarjuma and the tafsir of the whole Quran Sharif. That a page a day is not a difficult thing to do, even if you don't remember what you read. But I am talking about those surahs which we normally recite in our salats. We do come for salats. We come for our Fajr, Zuhar, Maghrib, Isha, Asr salats, and we make our sunnat namazes in which we recite our, in which we recite those surahs which are from Suratul Fil to Nas generally. So how difficult is it to just learn the meaning of those few surahs? So I was discussing Surah Takasur, and inshallah we will continue with that. But since we are in the days of Qurbani and the Ayyam of Tashriq, so I will just bring to your attention this, the meaning of this surah, which even little children are well accustomed to the recitation of. In fact, when a person accepts Islam, when he enters the fold of Islam, then when we are teaching the surahs for recitation in the salat, then generally we say that first teach the two surahs, Suratul Kawthar and Suratul Ikhlas. The Surah Kawthar and Surah Ikhlas, these are the shortest surahs of the Quran Sharif. Then teach them these surahs so that they can start reading in the salat these surahs. Now, how simple and easy it is to understand the meaning or to learn the translation of this surah which we read in our salat and which little children also, as I said, are aware of. Inna a'atwayna kal kawthar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being told that verily we, that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and here again we have to understand, some people say that why does Allah ta'ala talk about we? When we say Allah is one, then why must he say we? Now this is all a lack of understanding. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he says we, does not mean 10 Allahs together are talking. When a person is in a position of government, just to understand it simply, when the king of a country, he is the sole authority, he has the sole authority over the people of that kingdom. But when he says something, then he says we wish to announce. It carries weight. That is all that is intended there. That it is to create an emphasis that there is great weight behind it. So it is to bring it to our level of understanding. that when a person says, I am saying this, and he is a prime minister, or is a king of a country, it doesn't have that weight as when the person says that we wish to announce on behalf of the government. So like that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, verily we have given to you, or given to thee, addressing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what have we given to you? Abundance, fountain of Kawthar. Now this fountain of Kawthar, or which can also be translated as abundant good, what does that mean? Now before we go to that, we have to understand the background. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was being taunted. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was being mocked and criticized and teased by the kuffar of Makkah. They caused him physical injury and pain, and they also caused him what we term as emotional injury and pain. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not left by the munafiqeen, by the hypocrites of Madinah Sharif, or by the kuffar of Makkah Sharif, or by the mushrikeen, or by the Yahud and Nasara. Anything that they found which could strengthen their case in their sight, they used it as an ammunition against Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now here it was Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will, Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's main issues did not survive. Now that was the wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala did not want any of the main issues of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to survive. There's great wisdom in it. There are many things. Just one of it is this, that if there had been a main issue of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam surviving, then probably the people would have given him that same status as that of a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. As we have seen in many places, that when a great shaykh has to pass away, then his son may not be even worthy of khilafat, may not be even worthy of being a shaykh. He doesn't even know the ABC of tasawwuf and suluk. But the people, just because of that aqidat and that azmat and that muhabbat and that love and that respect that they held his father in, so they promote him to the position of becoming the leader of the community. And yet that person does not even know the basics of Islam. He becomes the imam of the masjid. He becomes the imam of the Eidgah. He becomes the imam of the Muslims. On what grounds? Solely because he was the son of so and so. Now here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was great wisdom in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not allowing any of the male issues to survive. Besides the many other reasons that there are there, also it was to convey this message that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not dependent on the male issue of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to have his message conveyed to the corners of the world, and to continue with this message of Islam, and for the rise of Islam, and for the propagation of Islam, and for the spread of Islam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not dependent on any male child of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he lost his child, Hazrat Ibrahim, that child over whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teared, and when the sahaba ikram asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you are also tearing, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun. We are grieved, O Ibrahim, upon your loss. But our tongue says only that which is haqq, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To show the ummah that it is not a sin if a person has to tear over the loss of his child. If any loss a person suffers and if he has to tear, then that is not a sin. As long as in his heart he knows that it is the will and the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and therefore I am happy within the heart. He uses his intelligence and he feels satisfied that it is the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A couple did not have child and does not have children for a long time, and they're very depressed, and it seemed as if, or I was told that the person himself is crying too, and his wife too is crying, that there are no children. Now that is the wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's the decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in reply, I only used two words. I said that what you should really do is think of two things. That if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives a child, then it is a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. Then make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah blessed you with a child. Now give that child the proper upbringing. Teach the child Islam, deen, sharia. Train the child with the akhlaq and morals, discipline the child, and make that child a sadqa jariya for your akhirat. But if Allah Ta'ala does not give a child, then consider that to be a rahmat. In these days, it's a rahmat. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not bless the person with a child, it's a rahmat. Because we who are handling cases every day of our lives, we know what the parents are going through. Those very parents who were running to all the taweez walas that please make some taweez where my wife can give birth to some child. Or they were going to every doctor that they can find, And when that child when that woman finally gave birth, and that child grew up and went on to drugs and drink and vices and evil, and began to beat up the parents and reject the parents, then those same parents are now saying, please make some ta'weez that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put this child right. And sometimes they even say, make dua that Allah take this child away. I'm so sick and tired of this child. I've heard this with my own ears. I'm not telling you stories in the masjid where the mother crying told me, she said, Maulana, make some dua, Allah take this child of mine away. I don't know what to do with this child. So therefore, if Allah Ta'ala gives a child, it's his ni'mat, and if he doesn't give, it's a rahmat. But also I mentioned there in that letter, in reply to this woman who was very depressed of not having children, I said that some people are crying for children, and some people are crying over children. Some people are crying for children. Ya Allah, bless us with a child. They are crying for children. And some are crying over their children, as I just explained to you. So those who haven't got children, then they must look at those cases of parents who are sick and tired and fed up with their children, and the trouble and the trauma that they are going through, and the pain that they are suffering, then you must look at those parents and say, Ya Allah, it is your shukr that you did not bless me with a child, but I'm asking you that if you bless me with a child, then I will make shukr of yours, and I will make an effort to bring that child up in the proper manner. So to keep making dua, there's nothing wrong. The Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made dua. But we must always remember that whatever Allah Ta'ala does, there's great wisdom in it. This is what was in the case of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took away his male issues and they did not survive, then there was great wisdom in it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knew. But these kuffar and of Makkah, they were such people, and that they just were looking for some kind of excuse, any incident that they could use as an ammunition against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's prophethood. That if he was the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and if his du'as were so much accepted, and if he was so close to Allah ta'ala, and if Allah ta'ala had intended to keep his religion and his deen, and the deen of Islam flourishing and going on, then why is it that his children are dying, the male issues are passing away? So this was their objection and criticism. In fact, they used the word that he is cut off. Inna shani akahu wal abtar. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala uses that to say that these people who are saying that you are cut off, that means your progeny is cut off, or they are cut off from all good, they are the ones who are going to be cut off, or they are already cut off from all good. Nevertheless, so Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion he was sitting amongst us, and then suddenly, as it used to happen when the wahi used to come down upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went into a state of hal that we call, and a condition that befell him whenever wahi came. After that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raised his head and he was smiling. Now whenever they saw a smile on the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam after some time of concentration, pondering, or some reflection and meditation, then they knew that some good news has come from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They were aware that now some good news Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to give to us. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he spoke to his friends, when he spoke to his family, when he spoke to his wives, when he spoke to his children, when he spoke to the congregation, when he was talking to them as individuals, at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was always smiling. There was a smile and a cheer on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's face. But at other times, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to be in a pensive mood. He used to hold his beard sometime and he's in deep thought. And people could see that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in some concern. His concern was what else except that of the ummah, that what is the condition of the ummah. And from all sides they were being surrounded by enemies. Everybody wanted to wipe out Islam, destroy the Muslim ummah. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had to educate the ummah on the one hand, those who were accepting Islam. He had to prepare the people for jihad. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to give the ahkam of sharia and of deen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has to teach, to make his own ibadat, and so many other things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to do. Now here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to be in deep thought, mutawasilul ahzan. So here when they saw that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raised his face and there was a smile, they realized that some good news has come. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was questioned, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, why did you smile? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with this surah, and he recited from Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna a'tayna kal kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwal abtar. And then he asked them, do you know what kawthar is? They said Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam know best what Kausar is. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam said it is a pond or it is a river which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give to me, and my ummah will descend on this pond of Kausar on the day of Qiyamah. I'm just giving you the meaning and the gist of it. There's no time to go into details. He has described it in detail what Kausar is. We find in other hadiths that it is that the drink of that is going to be whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. And the sand on which that river flows or that pond is, the smell of that and the fragrance of that is more than that of musk. And whosoever will drink the water of Kausar from that container, from that glass or tumbler, the quantity of which will be more than the stars that twinkle in the heavens. Just one drink after that is not going to feel thirsty on the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the people, my ummah will descend there. They will come there. But then I will see that some people are being pushed away. They are being taken away from there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I will say that, but they are my ummatis. Why are you moving them away? The angels will say, suhqan, suhqan, get away from here, get away from here. Pushing them out. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will say, but these are my ummatis. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be told by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he will be informed that yes, they are your ummatis, they were your ummatis, but you do not know what they did in deen after your departure from them. That means what new things they introduced into deen. Or they were munafiqs who were outwardly proclaiming that they have got Islam and Iman in their hearts, but after you departed from them, their nifaq and hypocrisy opened up. Or they were those who didn't have any kind of Islam and Iman in their hearts from the very beginning, or they had but they became murtad. That means they had not accepted Islam with conviction and firm belief. So these are the people, they are going to be removed, they are going to be moved out. It is a very frightening thing that all of us, we claim to be great lovers of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we have to check in our lives, what are we doing, what have we introduced, or what have we given up of Islam and Deen. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he described what that Kausar is. So this is one of the meanings of that Kausar. Now if I'm going to go into the details, we're already on Qurbani time, so let me just bring it back quickly to one or two points immediately after that. Otherwise there's great detail there. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he gave him abundance. One is this Kausar and one is abundance. Abundance of wisdom, abundance of knowledge. If you have to put the knowledge of all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, the knowledge of all the ummatis of all the Anbiya together on one side, and the knowledge of all the angels, the knowledge of all the angels, the Anbiya and the ummatis and everyone on one side, and you have to put the knowledge of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the other side, then the comparison is like that of a drop from the water of the ocean. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the ocean and all the rest of it is just like one drop. That is the comparison. So the abundant knowledge that Allah Ta'ala gave to him. Allah Ta'ala says, we gave you that. We also gave you plenty of wisdom. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him such companions who were prepared to lay down their lives for the sake of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's deen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him such a deen that until the day of Qiyamah it will survive. The more they try to suppress it, it will be like a ball which is thrown hard on the ground. The harder you throw it, the more higher it will rise. If we take a tennis ball and we throw it onto the ground, it is going to rise higher. So this is Islam that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given you. And then all the other gifts of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So why is he being told this, that we gave you all this in abundance? So that he does not take great, or it does not worry him very much what this kuffar and mushrikeen are saying, that your progeny is cut off because no male child is surviving. To give him consolation. On the one hand, Allah Ta'ala puts Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through these trials so that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when it comes, and when they will go through trials, difficulties, when there will be torture, when there will be murders, when there will be killings, when there will be hangings, when there will be imprisonment, when there will be all kinds of bombing taking place upon their heads, and when there will be nothing but destruction outwardly inside, then at that time they don't lose hope. They look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and they take a lesson from there, that greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he could go through such kind of difficulties and trials, then what is that little difficulty and trial that we go through for the sake of his deen. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam consolation and assuring him that if we have given you all this abundance, and in that abundance is also this, that outwardly it seems that you must have a male issue, a male child, to continue with your message. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or he was assuring him that he's going to get such an ummah that it will run into millions or it will billions. So what is better, one or two children or millions of people who are dedicated to your deen and to your sharia and to Islam? So there are three things in the Surah Kausar. Time is limited and I just want to conclude that there are three things in this. One is the ni'mat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave. Ek hai ni'mat. The second thing is the shukr of that ni'mat. Now because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave you abundance, so what should you do? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. So pray to your Rabb. Make salat. This salat is a shukr of the ni'mats. And since that message is for the whole ummah, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of his wisdom, out of his mercy and out of his kindness and grace, he blessed us with Islam. He blessed us with this great ni'mat of Iman. So the first shukr of that ni'mat is our five times salat. If the person is negligent, he is not performing his five times salat properly, then it shows that he has not shown appreciation for this great ni'mat of Islam and Iman. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, that is the shukr of the ni'mat. Salat is the shukr of the ni'mat, because in salat you are making your whole body occupy itself in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's remembrance. The eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, your forehead, your mind, everything is occupied. So this is the shukr of that ni'mat of Islam and Iman. The first thing, and here Allah ta'ala says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that because of this ni'mat that we have given to you, that we gave you the fountain of abundance, or we gave you abundance, so now what you do is make salat. One har and make qurbani. This qurbani, although nahar is usually used for camels, but it is a general term also used for all kinds of animals that are permissible for qurbani, that the shukr of that now is that you make qurbani. Make salat and make qurbani. And the peygham and the message of that is the last part of that. Inna shani aka huwal abtar. The peygham. So one is the ni'mat, the shukr of the ni'mat, and the peygham for the ummat. The peygham for the ummat is this, that we should not think that if we find criticism of Islam, of deen, of the mazhab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of this beautiful way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we find problems with it because of our weakness, because of our own shortcomings, because of our nafs, and because of the pressure of shaitan upon our hearts, then we keep finding faults with Islam, and it seems as if we are just attached to it because we were born in Muslim homes. So we are forced now to make some salat and to give some zakat and go for hajj and do this and do that. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not in need of us. This is what we have to understand. That if we are going to cut off from Islam, if we are going to cut off from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we are going to distance ourselves from the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we are going to distance ourselves from salat and from zakat and from honesty and from truthfulness and from charity and from zikr and from tilawat and from ibadat and from the fulfillment of the rites as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us, then we are not going to cause any kind of harm to Islam. The peygham and the message is this, that just as those people who were criticizing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that since there are no male issues surviving him, so his deen will be completely destroyed and there will be nobody to continue with the deen. But they were proven false. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed that after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in continued with that message, propagation of that message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and up till today we have Islam flourishing throughout the world, and until the day of Qiyamah it is going to survive. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving a very clear message via the last part of the surah, that you will be cut off. That means we will be cut off if we try to cut off from Islam. If we cut off from the teachings of Islam, then we will be cut off. There will be nobody to take our name also. A few days after the person's death, the person is not going to be even remembered. For a little while the children will cry too, but after that they will be only interested in what the father left behind. And after it is distributed, then that will be the end of the remembrance of that father too. So if we want to be remembered and if we want to continue, then there is only one way, and that is that we must attach ourselves very firmly and strongly to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and bring into our life these two things. One is salat and the second thing is sacrifice. Salat and sacrifice. Now this sacrifice again is a whole chapter on its own, where we have seen the sacrifices of the Sahaba-i-Kiram in the Battle of Uhud and other places. May Allah Ta'ala give us also the tawfiq of making amal on the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. And Allah Ta'ala must accept the qurbanis of the people that are making qurbani and the hajj of the people that are making hajj. And Allah Ta'ala must accept the du'as of the entire ummah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, and assist and help the mujahideen of Kashmir, Afghanistan, Palestine, Chechnya and others in the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.